us, Lord.
Lord, we do love you by many things.
Amen.
Now we turn our heart back always in.
Amen.
Repent of loving other things.
Amen.
Jesus, Lord, you're our first love.
Amen. So maybe we'll go on with the next hymn, And They Called Rebecca. That's the second song on the song sheet. Amen. Before we start, we can just have the sisters pray two by two for this time. Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. I'm wondering this morning if we could start by doing a little reading. And in order to read, we like to ask some of the single sisters. Can we get like five single sisters to stand up for us? Okay, if you're single, stand up, please. Okay. All right. So good. We got five here. That's good. So maybe we'll start with six. How about we start with Tryphena and read about 10 verses? We're reading Genesis chapter 24. Okay. See if you can get everybody get it in your Bible. I know that you maybe have all read this chapter. This is a very sweet chapter. But maybe you haven't read it for a while. And so it's good to be refreshed. But maybe what you could do, if you don't mind, if you could come here and read in front of the microphone so the ones on the Zoom could see you and hear you. Yeah, just read 10 verses straight. Oh, okay. And then who's ever behind you will read another 10. There's 67 verses. Okay.
Okay.
So hang on a minute. Sorry. Let me just put this right here because they can't see you on the Zoom unless you stand here. Okay, so. Okay, everybody got it in your Bible? So read loud and clear and everybody can understand.
Genesis 24. And Abraham was old and advanced in age, and Jehovah had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his house, who ruled over all that he had, put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by Jehovah, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am dwelling, but you shall go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from where you came? And Abraham said to him, be certain not to take my son back there. Jehovah, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your seed I will give you this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, you shall be free from this oath of mine. Only you shall not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning this matter. And the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and departed, having all kinds of his master's good things in his hand. And he rose up and went to Aram-Naharaim, to the city of Nahor.
Amen.
And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of the water at the time of evening, at that time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Jehovah, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. I'm standing here by the spring of water as the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. And may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and who says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant, for Isaac. And in this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. But before he had finished speaking, there was Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Micah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, coming out with her pitcher upon the shoulder. And the girl was very beautiful in appearance, a virgin, and no man had known her. And she went down to the spring and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me sip a little water from your pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hurried and lowered her pitcher on the hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also. until they had finished drinking. And she hurried and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water. And she drew it for all his camels.
Amen.
21. And the man gazed fixed upon her in silence to know whether Jehovah had made his journey prosperous or not. And when the camels had finished drinking, the man took a golden nose ring, wagging half a sickle and two bracelets, for her hands wagging 10 gold sickles. And said, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in? And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, who she bore and Nahor. She also said to him, we have plenty of straw and fodder and also place to lodge. And the man bore it and worshipped Jehovah. And she said, blessed be Jehovah, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, Jehovah has led me in the way to those house of my master's brother. And the girl ran and told her mother's house about these things. And Rebekah had a brother whose name is Laban. And Laban ran out of the man to the spring.
Amen. Okay. Verse 30.
Amen. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and had heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, this is what the man spoke to me, he went to the man. And there he was, standing by the camels at the spring. And he said, come in, O blessed of Jehovah. Why do you stand outside when I have prepared the house and a place for the camels? And the man came into the house, and Laban unloaded the camels. And he gave straw and fodder to the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the feet of the men who were with him. And food was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have stated my business. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and Jehovah has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, and silver and gold, and male servants and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master after she had become old. And he has given all that he has to him. And my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me.
And 40.
And he said to me, Jehovah, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you and make your journey prosperous. And you shall take a wife for my son from my family, even from my father's house.
Okay. And before Serena reads, how about Caitlin? Can you do the last 10 or so? Okay, Serena, go ahead. 41.
To 50? Okay. Verse 41. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my family, and if they do not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. And I came to thee to the spring and said, O Jehovah, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make my journey on which I go prosperous. I am standing here by the spring of water, and may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw water, to whom I will say, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she will say to me, drink, and I will also draw water for your camels. May she be the woman whom Jehovah has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there came Rebekah, and her pitcher was on her shoulder. And she went down to the spring and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she hurried and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. So I drank, and she also gave the camels a drink. And I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." And I put the nose ring upon her nose and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed and worshiped Jehovah and blessed Jehovah, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me so, but if not, tell me so, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The matter comes from Jehovah. We cannot speak to you bad or good."
Amen. Okay, Kayla, you just finished the whole thing.
Okay. What?
Oops, sorry.
That's my bad. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as Jehovah has spoken. And when Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed down to the earth to Jehovah. And the servant brought forth silver jewelry and gold jewelry and clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And they ate and drank, he and the men who were with him, and spent the night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the girl stay with us a few days, 10 or so, after that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not delay me, since Jehovah has made my journey prosperous. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "Let us call the girl and ask her." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your seed possess the gate of those who hate them." And Rebekah rose with her maids, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went away. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was dwelling in the region of the Negev. And Isaac went out to mediate in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she sprang off the camel. And she said to the servant, "Who is this man who is walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." And she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother.
Amen. Okay. Thank you for the reading. This is probably one of the sweetest chapters in the Bible. It's a very rich story. And I think as we have fellowshiped in the past couple times, the accounts in the Old Testament are in the way of pictures, right? We have the Old Testament is a picture book, and the New Testament is the reality. So in the Old Testament, you have all the types and figures and shadows. And in the New Testament, we have the reality of those types. So today, covering Rebekah, she is a really an excellent type of the bride of Christ. And hopefully we'll see something of that this morning. So if you look on your outline here, says number one, says positive patterns show us how God's people lived in oneness with God for the accomplishing of his eternal purpose. So the different people that we study in the Bible, most of them are patterns. In fact, the highest pattern Paul presented was in Philippians chapter 2, and that's the pattern of Christ himself. And we know that if you are, say, making a dress, sometimes a seamstress or a person who sews, I have a sister who sews. You find a pattern, right? And then you cut out the material and form it according to the pattern. So if you don't have a pattern and you just kind of eyeball it and think, well, it's about like this, and you just start cutting, there's a pretty high likelihood that it's not going to be like the pattern. And that's what is happening today quite often. People try to, say, imitate Christ, or try to be like the Lord, or try to be godly, or try to produce something that's on the Lord's heart. And eventually you find out, wow, what I read in the Bible, it doesn't seem quite to be the same as what you got here. Okay, so we need patterns. And the highest pattern is Christ himself. And he's not just an objective pattern, but he's subjective. That means this pattern is in us. So if you are cutting an outside pattern, you might begin to realize, whoa, you're outside the line. Come back a little bit. Okay. How do we know that in our living, a Christian life? How do we know if your walk or your living is Christ? We have subjectively, it's not just like, what would Jesus do outwardly? But inwardly, we have a sense. We have a sense of life. We have a feeling. Whoa, you're getting kind of off the line. Come back in the spirit and to walk in this way. So the Lord has given us himself as the highest pattern, objectively and subjectively. But he's also given us patterns in the Bible. Paul said that the Lord had mercy on him, that he might be a pattern to all those who believe, right? What was he a pattern of? He was a pattern of a person who was a chief sinner. And it did not stop the Lord from saving him. So it shows that God's way, he's the Savior. He can save even the chief of sinners. And this became a pattern. Are you a sinner? We are all sinners. But we all can follow the same pattern as Paul. He was a sinner, and so are we. He got saved, and so can we. So anyway, in the Old Testament, we have a lot of good types and patterns. And these patterns of people show us how God's people lived. Okay, and their living mostly is in oneness with God for the accomplishing of his purpose. And we'll see that this morning. So letter A says, the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah was not merely for their human living, but more importantly, it was for the producing of a people for the fulfillment of God's purpose. So outwardly, you can say, wow, this is just a beautiful story of how someone was chosen to be the bride of Isaac. And it's lovely story. Okay. And you can say it's for their human living. Marriage is ordained by God, and it's normal for people to be brought into a courtship and to which leads to marriage. And that's in one sense, you could say it's wonderful for your human living. But here we see a pattern. Their marriage was for something more. It was more than just for their human living. It surely was for their human living, but it was something more, right? It was for God's purpose. So this is quite a pattern. It shows us that all the things in our human life are necessary, and they're even ordained by God. Should we get an education? We should. It's normal. It's proper for human beings to receive a proper education. Should you work? Of course, we should work. It's ordained by God. Okay, these are all normal things. Do you need a place to live, right? Do you need housing? Do you need to get a career? Do you need to be married? All these kind of things are proper, normal, human things for our human living. But you can see, according to this pattern, this marriage was for something more. And this is our real hope is that we would learn from a pattern like Isaac and Rebecca that our human living would be for something more. And I think many of us have had this kind of experience. I had this experience as soon as I graduated from college. At the same time, I migrated to another city, a campus town, and I was looking for a job, and it was a very small city. It was DeKalb, and there was not very many jobs in that small town, and I didn't realize it. Brother Bill asked me before I went out there, what are you going to do for work? I said, oh, I don't know. I'll find one. I'll find a job. Don't worry. Okay. And then I got out there and I realized, oh my goodness, what am I going to do for work? But anyway, a job opened up for me and is with a small accounting firm. And I found out that their normal schedule was to work all day, go home for dinner, and come back and work every evening. Okay. And 6 days a week. And this was their normal schedule. Okay. And so I was on one hand very excited to get an offer for a job. On the other hand, I was very troubled. I thought, oh my goodness. And I went and fellowship with Brother Jeff. I said, Jeff, I got an offer. I got an offer. Wow, so hard to find a job out here. I got an offer. Do you know what he asked me? One simple question. I said, Marty, what did you move here for? And that was a real salvation to me. I knew I had the witness within, and then I had a brother confirm it without. And yes, for my human living, I needed employment. Okay. On the other hand, I was living for something more than just my human living, just for a job. Okay. So this is a really according to the pattern. Isaac and Rebecca, yes, it's normal for them to get married, but their marriage was for something more. I don't know how much they realized at that time, but we know from God's viewpoint, from God's purpose, Isaac, we know Abraham was promised a seed, and this seed would eventually multiply and become a great kingdom. This seed of Abraham would inherit the land and enjoy the land and then build up a testimony for God on the earth. So this was the purpose of Abraham's calling. Okay, now here's the seed of Abraham. Here's Isaac. What's Isaac going to do? Is he going to go along and carry out? I'm sure he heard about how his parents were called out. Okay. So we'll see the work of the Spirit in this chapter, how Rebecca and Isaac lived for something more than their own lives and their own living. They lived for the fulfillment of God's purpose. We know it was through them. Eventually, Jacob was produced, and then Jacob's sons, and then you had the children of Israel, and you had the propagation, and eventually you had the kingdom of God on this earth in a human way or in a practical way, which also is just a type of the reality that God desires to have a people on the earth who are for him, who are not just for themselves or not just for their own living, but are for God's purpose. Why do they work? Where do they live? What school they go to? All these things they take into consideration. I'm a person on the earth for God's purpose. Okay, letter B. In the gaining of Rebecca as a wife for Isaac, everything was done according to God's economy to bring forth Christ for the producing of the kingdom of God. So, this was the working out, the practical working out. You have the promises were made and the responding to God's calling. But you could also say the daily living day by day is the working out of God's will to bring forth. Eventually, this ushered in, you know, maybe it took several centuries, But eventually, we know that God's people ushered in the first coming of Christ. And this was, he himself was the reality of the kingdom, and he produced an enlargement of that kingdom through the church on the earth. Okay, so this was just another step in the fulfillment of God's economy. So number two is, how is the church, if Rebecca is an excellent type of the bride of Christ, which is the church, how is the church seen in the Old Testament? Well, letter A says, the church is not mentioned in the Old Testament in plain words. It remained a hidden mystery during the Old Testament times. We know Paul told us in Ephesians, the revelation of the mystery was made known to me, as to Paul in the New Testament age. And he said, Paul said, and I love this verse in Ephesians 3:4, he said, of which I have written previously in brief. So Paul saw something. He saw what was on God's heart. He saw, he got the revelation. And what did he do? He wrote it down. Okay. And then what? He said, now by which in reading it, you also can perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is the church. Paul was the first one to really see that mystery. It was made known to him by revelation. Okay. Then Paul said, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. Okay. In all the prior generations, they had no clue what was the hidden mystery on God's heart. On God's heart was that he would gain a match, a bride, a testimony, an enlargement of his son, an expression of himself. We saw this a little bit in the example, the pattern of Eve, that Eve came out of Adam. The church comes out of Christ. The church is the enlargement of Christ, right? The church is just Christ, just like Eve was just Adam, okay? But did they see the mystery of Christ in the Old Testament? The Bible says, no, they did not. It wasn't until the time of Paul that these mysteries began to be made known. In other generations, all the prior generations, they were not made known to the sons of men. So it remained a hidden mystery. But we have little hints. We have some types. And that's so wonderful. Now we, in the New Testament age, we can look back and we say, well, there it is right there. You know, don't you see? Eve is a type of Christ. And I mean, a type of the church. And now Rebecca, she's a type of the church. But I doubt if we would have seen that without Paul's writing these things down and making known these hidden mysteries. So letter B says, the Old Testament predicts the church, not in plain words, but in types and figures and shadows. Then letter C, some wives of the men who typified Christ in the Old Testament are types and shadows of the church. Okay, so we know that there's several men in the Old Testament, they were types of Christ. Even Adam was a type of Christ. He was the first man. The Lord Jesus was the last Adam, right? Adam was the expression of God. Christ is the reality of that expression, right? All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. He was the embodiment of God. He was the full expression of the invisible God. Okay, so the Lord gave us many types. Of course, some of these men, some of their aspects of their life were not patterns of Christ, but some aspects were, like David and Solomon. Okay, so we can enjoy and appreciate seeing the Christ in these types, but not only in the men, but also in the women. So letter D says, both Eve and Rebecca are types of the church. So types are people. They could also be places, even events. They're prefigures of the New Testament realities. Okay, like for instance, we all know the Passover lamb is a type of Christ. He's the real Lamb of God who shed his blood for our redemption. Manna is a type of Christ as our real food, as our real bread of life, right? Then here's an event. Crossing of the Red Sea is also a type, not of Christ, but a type of our experience as a believer. Through baptism, we are brought into the triune God and into the Lord's purpose. So we have, the Lord gave us all these types and figures in the Old Testament. So let's consider this type in particular of Rebekah in Genesis chapter 24. I'm glad we read that chapter again. In fact, you could probably read that chapter over and over again and see something fresh every time you read it. So there's four main characters in Genesis 24. And these characters, each one has some significance, is a type also. So the first one is Abraham. Abraham, he's a type of God the Father. Here it is. Abraham was an older man. You know, he was a father. He was Isaac's father. And something was on his heart. He was called according to God's purpose. He knew what God's purpose was. And he knew that the seed was supposed to multiply and become like the stars in the heavens. But here's his son. He does not have a wife, does not have a counterpart. How is this going to take place? So Abraham typifies God the Father. God the Father is the one who is a God of purpose. He's the purposing Father. And Abraham typifies God the Father's seeking a counterpart for his son. It's very interesting reading this story about Isaac. Sometimes you think, did Isaac have a clue what was going on? Did he think about getting married? Come on, Isaac, what are you doing? You know, how old are you? You know, anyway, it's like our single brother. Sometimes you like to give him a little shake. Hey, brother, you know, do you ever think about getting married? Okay. So Abraham, he was clear. My son needs to get married. Okay. So he was seeking. He was on his heart. Again, yet for his human living? Sure. What else? He was for God's purpose. Isaac needed to get married for God's purpose. Okay. So the father was seeking a counterpart for his son. This totally corresponds with the reality in the Bible. God the Father is seeking a bride for the Son who is Christ, right? Don't think just the Lord desires a bride. He does. But the Father desires a counterpart for his Son. So in eternity past, God the Father had an eternal purpose and made an eternal plan. What for? To gain the church as the bride for his son out of the human race. So this is God's goal. What is God doing on the earth? He is gaining the church as a bride for his son. Where is he going to find it? Not the angelic race. Okay, God created the angels. We were just reading last night in our group. The angels, who are they or what is their function? According to Hebrews, they're just servants. They're serving God, and they're also serving the believers, the household of God. Okay, God does not want to marry the angels. Okay, he wants to gain a bride out of the human race. Okay, and we'll see that clearly in this chapter. Abraham told Eliezer, his servant, go to my people, okay? And you could say, were they very good people? It's hard to say. On the one hand, Laban said something about we want to bless Jehovah. Okay. So maybe they had a belief in Jehovah, but we also know that they were involved with idols. It was a land of idolatry. So it's probably a pretty mixed situation. Were these perfect people? They were not. They were sinners. Okay. But this is the people that God has chosen. God has chosen people of the human race. That's us. And are we perfect? We are not. We are the fallen human race of Adam. Okay. But the Lord desires to gain some out of the human race. What is the purpose of the gospel? It's not just one day to go and be with the Lord. It's so that the Lord can gain a bride. You say, what are we doing here in the church? The Lord is producing a bride. Right? That is what is on his heart. And that is his goal, is to gain a bride for his son out of the human race. Okay. Then in time, this is very interesting. What happened in time? According to this story, according to this type, which corresponds to the reality, in time, God the Father sent God the Spirit to carry out his plan. Okay. Abraham, what did he do? He sent Eliezer. Who's Eliezer? That's the servant of Abraham. Abraham is the father. Abraham typifies God the Father. The Spirit, as the servant, went forth to do what? To seek out this bride for, according to the Father's plan, according to the Father's desire, to gain a bride for the Son. So, letter B says, Eliezer, Abraham's servant, he's also a type. Okay? Eliezer is a type of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing? This is very interesting and very profound, I think, and something that we should know about and we should pray in this way is, what do we need? We need the work of the Spirit. Okay. What was Eliezer doing? He was working. What was his job? He was only doing what the Father sent him to do. Well, what did he do? He testified concerning Isaac. You know what he told Rebecca? If you read the story again, Genesis 24, he said, I come from my master. The Lord has blessed him. Basically, he's telling him, my master Abraham is wealthy. Okay? And you don't believe it. I believe it when I read that. You know how many camels full of good things Abraham had? I mean, Eliezer brought with him? 10 camels loaded. We talk about the unsearchable riches. Can you imagine 10 camels full of riches? And these were not rags. These were riches, right? The first ones he pulled out, like, here's a golden ring for your nose. Okay. Must have been a common thing back then. Put a little ring on your nose. I read in the footnotes, you know what that's for? It's to give you a divine sense. I thought, wow, that is really good. Right? Rebecca, she had a sense for what was divine. She knew there's something in her. This is from God. You know? So anyway, kind of getting ahead of the story here. The Spirit, number one, the Spirit testifies that everything of the Father has been given to the Son. These verses in Genesis 24 exactly correspond to the verses in John 15 and 16 when it talks about the Spirit. The Spirit said, the Lord said, when he would raise from the dead, the Comforter would come, the Spirit of reality. What's he going to do? This Spirit of reality is going to guide you. What did Eliezer do? He was guiding Rebecca unto the marriage. Okay? That is what the Spirit is doing today. He's guiding us unto our marriage to the marriage feast. Okay? Then it says the Spirit will declare to you all the things concerning the Son. Right? So the Spirit will glorify me. That's what the Lord said. What did this Eliezer do? He didn't speak about himself. He said, wow, you should know my master is wealthy and he's given everything to his son Isaac. And we need a counterpart for Isaac. All that the Father has is given to the Son. This is the truth in the Bible concerning the triune God. All that the Father has is mine. That's what the Lord said. So all the riches, everything of the Godhead, everything is in Christ. Okay? And now the Spirit is glorifying the Son and speaking of him, testifying. Okay? Like Brother Lee used to say, what should we do? We should go to people and reach in your pockets and pull out the diamonds and show them the riches of Christ. Okay? They didn't belong to Eliezer. They weren't his. So they're not ours. Even this outline, it's not mine. I didn't come up with all these things, right? These are the riches that we've inherited that are in Christ, available to us. And what the Spirit came and the Lord's servants came, spoke these things to us, unveiled to us all the riches. Look at these riches. You know, I just can't imagine Rebecca when she saw those things. You know, I get the impression Rebecca was not very rich in herself. Okay. She was just chosen. It's like us. Were you rich? The Bible says we were without God, right? We had nothing. We were empty, right? We had zero, okay? But we were chosen. And Spirit started working. We start hearing things about the Lord and about the riches of Christ. Something within us started to respond. We said, you know, before we knew it, I'm going. And we start following. So that's why we should pray. We should really pray. Oh, thank you. We should pray for ones that we're concerned about or preaching the gospel to or sharing with. Okay, sometimes it's good to pray like this, saying, Lord, do what I cannot do. Okay? We need the work of the Spirit. So if you know some, even our own children or ones that we are concerned about, that we'd like to see come to Christ, maybe they have no appreciation for the riches of Christ. Okay, but what should we do? We should pray, Lord. Okay, so I'm going to show you one thing. This corresponds in the Old Testament, in Genesis. Do you know what? In the beginning, it was dark and empty. Then what happened? Spirit brooding. Then what happened? Right after the Spirit was brooding, you have God speaking. Then, but light shining. And eventually, you have life growing. Okay, so this is our story, and this needs to be the story of ones that we're concerned about. What? What's their condition? Just like it was in Genesis in the very beginning. Dark and empty. That's all men's state. Dark and empty. What do we need? Not convincing, not man's convincing. Okay? We need the Spirit brooding. We should pray, Lord, brood over this one. Sanctify You know, we've heard about the Spirit's sanctifying work even before people get saved, right? Working in their environment and working within them to cause them to open up. Okay, then what? Speaking comes. Says faith comes by hearing, right? God said, you know, you read Genesis, says the Spirit began to brood and God spoke. And then he said, let there be light. Light shine. All right. We know in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says the God of this age has blinded the hearts of the unbelieving. They're here. Okay. So what do we need? The Spirit to brood, God to speak, and light to shine. We should pray, Lord, shine into their hearts like you shined into our hearts. You know, I could testify my experience. I think all of our experience. Where was I? I was sitting in darkness, right? Just like in Matthew, it says, when the Lord Jesus began to walk on the earth, it says a great light appeared, right? And to all those who were sitting in darkness. So we should pray, right? Not worry. Not try to figure out how am I going to get this person saved. You're not. Okay. What should we do? We should pray Spirit would work. Okay. Do what we cannot do. We cannot do the work of the Spirit. Then pray that God would speak. Of course, this we might have to cooperate and speak also. Let some hear, have the hearing of faith. I'm so thankful. Brothers spoke the gospel to me. Spoke the word of God. The word is powerful and able to save. Okay. Then what? Light started shining. Right? Shined into our hearts. And then what? Eventually life starts to grow. Okay. So this is why number two says the Holy Spirit testifies concerning Christ and of his riches in order that we would be drawn and gained by him as his counterpart, his bride. So this is exactly what happened to the disciples. What happened? The Spirit must have been working and the Lord actually appeared to them as the great light and they were attracted. Okay. It took Abraham several appearings by the God of glory. How many times did it take the disciples? I think actually sometimes you read the Gospels and it seemed like the Lord just saw them on the beach, right? And said, okay, come follow me. And then they just came right there. But if you read like Peter's account, you find out maybe it wasn't quite that simple. I think the Lord came to Peter two or three times. Okay, so however many times the Lord attracted the disciples and they began to be captured by the light and to be saved from being natural men to become God men. Okay. And this corresponds also with Song of Songs, right? Where the maiden prays, Lord, draw me. Okay. So this is exactly what the Spirit is doing. In the case here of Rebecca, what did he do? He just started showing her the riches. And her, it's hard to describe what exactly happened. I don't know. If you're a sister, some older man comes up to you and starts showing you some rings, you might run away. Okay, but in this case, this was ordained by God. This was according to God's purpose. Rebecca, she began to realize, wow, something is going on here. Okay. And she was drawn. She began to be attracted and drawn. Who was she drawn to? She was not drawn to Eliezer, right? She was drawn initially by the riches, but the riches were just a token. There was much more. Okay. Where were those riches? They were with Isaac, right? So the riches were bringing her unto unto Isaac. Okay, so all the riches should usher us unto Christ, unto the enjoyment of Christ. Okay, let's look at Isaac, letter C. Isaac typifies God's son in his need for a counterpart. Isaac was born of grace. Last time we talked about Sarah. Who is Sarah? Sarah typifies grace, right? Isaac was born of her. He's born of grace. He became the unique heir of Abraham. And again, all that the father had was given to Isaac. So in Galatians there says, the son of the free woman inherits, not the son of the slave, Hagar. Okay. Isaac was born of Abraham. He was the son of Abraham. Abraham was full of riches, but he was according to God's promise, and he became the legal heir of all his father's possessions. Okay, so number three, the record of Isaac's life shows that his life was a life of rest and enjoyment. He secured a bride without doing anything. So Isaac, be interesting to study a little more about Isaac. He's quite a character. It seems like, man, Isaac, you didn't do anything. Everything was worked out for Isaac. Okay. On one hand, okay, sometimes I might encourage brothers, single brothers a little bit. Get going, brother. What are you doing? Okay. But you don't really see that here. Isaac, he's just living by the well. You know, what did he do? Even the very night he's going to get married, what is he doing? He's out meditating in the field. Anyway, he lived a life of rest and enjoyment. All things were prepared for Isaac. So he's a type of Christ, right? God the Father ordained that he would have a son. He worked out everything. God the Spirit went forth to find this one. Okay, letter D. Rebecca, that's who we're talking about here today. She typifies the chosen people of God who will marry the son and become his counterpart. Okay, so who's Rebecca? You could say, I am Rebecca. But corporately, you could say, we are Rebecca. We are being prepared. Are we the bride of Christ today? You could say we are being prepared as the bride of Christ, right? We are being prepared to become the Lord's counterpart. So number one, Rebecca typifies the bride gained by Christ. She represents the church. What kind of person? It's very interesting. This type is really something, you know. This person, Rebecca, I would like to meet a person like this. She was, wow, it sounds like she was quite a diamond herself, right? She was a chaste, kind. She was so hospitable. And she was not only very hospitable, very beautiful, but she was also very diligent. What a worker, putting that big old jar on her shoulder and carrying water around. I'm sure sounds like, I don't know why, sounds like a man's job. I don't know why the daughters of all these ones came out in the evening carrying these big jugs on their shoulders. Anyway, she was chaste, kind. She was so kind to Eliezer. And not even only to Eliezer, even to his animals. You know, let me give you something to drink and, oh, let me get some water for your camels. You know, she was very, you get the impression, she was a very sweet person. Okay. So when you talk about what should the brother look for in a bride? Yes, there's that outward beauty brothers might seek, but you could say, wow, you cannot bypass these kind of qualities. These are so beautiful. Her kindness, her diligence, even her absoluteness in her decision to take Isaac as her husband. Anyway, what a bride. What a bride to be. Okay. Now, got to remember, this is in the physical realm. This is a type. Okay. Not out trying to match. Don't try to match the pattern by your own outward. Try to beautify yourself or make yourself exactly like Rebecca. We need the Lord's beautifying work, which we'll talk about here in a minute. Okay, so the entire New Testament is a record of the triune God working to gain a part of the human race to be the bride, the counterpart of the Son. So this is very key, right? This is the picture in the Bible. This is the reality. This is the New Testament reality. What is happening today? What is happening? The triune God is working. The Father's purposing, the Spirit is seeking and speaking and displaying the riches, and it's all to bring part of the human race to become the bride for the Son, to be the counterpart of the Son. Okay, that's why we have all the epistles, right? What are they doing? Paul's reminding us, I espoused you unto one husband, you know, basically kind of being jealous over them, reminding them, don't give your heart to something else. Keep your heart single. Keep it chaste. Keep it for the Lord. Keep it for your bridegroom, right? So we know in Revelation 19, it says the bride has made herself ready. And we've had conferences on this recently, that what should we be doing day by day? Basically, we're getting ready to get married, right? We are preparing ourselves to be the bride of Christ. We should think about what's the purpose of our daily life. Yes, we go to work and we take care of our children and our family and take care of our house and do all kinds of things. But we're here for God's purpose. And God's purpose is to gain a bride for the Son. Okay, Roman numeral 5. The church symbolized by Rebecca has the following characteristics. And these are very sweet characteristics. And this applies to all of us. This is who we are. This is what is happening. All right. Number A, Rebecca, just like us, is chosen. We are chosen by the Holy Spirit. Okay. There was a lot of women who came to that well. Okay. It was, you could say it was God's sovereign arrangement. That's true. But it was also Eliezer. He chose Rebecca. Okay. Rebecca was chosen to be the wife of Isaac by the old servant who was sent forth by Isaac's father, Abraham, to the land where Abraham was called by God. So what a picture. We are the chosen ones. Okay, Abraham's country and kindred indicate the place of fallen men and the fallen human race, respectively. Why were we chosen? We know it's not because something we were, or we were better than others, or that we were out of all the people human of the human race, we're the perfect ones, we're the sinless ones. It's like, are you kidding? No, we are all the sinners. And we have all the, we are all the fallen descendants of Adam, but the Holy Spirit was sent. We were all empty and dark, but we cannot deny. Somehow the Spirit came and sought us out, and we were chosen. Okay? Then, number 3, the fact that Rebecca and Isaac were relatives. I was trying to figure this out. In fact, I think with the full-timers, we tried to figure this out one day. Let's see, what exactly was the relationship between Isaac and Rebecca? You don't want to get into it too much. You're like, what? Were they allowed to get married? What kind of laws are these back then? I don't know. Anyway, sounds like they were distant cousins or something. But anyway, Rebecca and Isaac, they were relatives. You know what this signifies? That the church and Christ are of the same source. We are, in Hebrews says, we are all of one, okay? And we know in the high peak truths, we know that what happened? God had to become man like us. We became relatives. We're the human race. He joined the human race, right? We're relatives. We are the same, right? Why? It's so that he could bring us to match him. Right? The same in life and in his divine nature. So he joined our human life and human nature that we could join and be one with him and his life and his human nature. We're of the same source. Okay. How did this take place? Well, what's another characteristic is that Rebecca was attracted and called. When Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac, the servant gave Rebecca many gifts for the purpose of leading Rebecca to Isaac. So the Lord has given us, you can read in the book of Acts, the forgiveness of our sins. What a gift. Then he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the gift of eternal life. You know, sometimes we don't appreciate, man, you have been gifted. You have so many riches. You have so many gifts that have been given to you. You know, it's like, little kids, you can give them some great gifts. And it's like, oh, okay. Anything else? Yeah. So, oh, the riches. We sing about the riches. These gifts were tokens. They were great gifts on one hand. On the other hand, it's just a little down payment of what's to come. Little foretaste, right? Even today, we're enjoying the riches. And it seems like unsearchable, enjoyable riches. It's just a little foretaste of the full taste that is coming. They were tokens for Rebecca, indicating that she would eventually share all of Isaac's possessions. She would become one with Isaac. Everything of Isaac's would be hers. Her and Isaac would be one. They would share in all these riches. Okay, number three, Rebecca's receiving gifts signifies the church's receiving the Holy Spirit and the riches of Christ for our enjoyment. Number four, the Lord's gifts should bring us to the giver, right? I like that hymn by A.B. Simpson. Once his gift I wanted, now the giver own, right? The gifts bring us to the giver, right? Where all these riches come from? They're from the Son. The Son has all that the Father has been given to the Son. We can enjoy all these riches. Okay, now, one great thing about Rebecca, and we talked about this last time, when a sister is being, you could say a little proposal comes her way, would you like to begin to talk to this brother? Would you like to begin to text him or begin to call him, or you want to Zoom together, or, you know, would you like to start a little fellowship together? I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. Okay. That's good. That's good to pray and consider. Okay. But after a week or so, like, sister, what do you think? You know, well, let me think some more. Okay. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but look at Rebecca. What did Rebecca do? I will go. That's it. Okay. She was convinced. He's got the riches. He's a wonderful person. Okay, but think about it. A lot of times, a brother might indicate interest in a sister. And I always tell the brother, brother, you got to tell the sister a little bit about yourself. Send me a paragraph or two and send me a photo. Okay. Why? The sister wants to see you. Okay. And of course, it goes both ways. But think about Rebecca. She got to see some of his riches. She never saw him until the day they got married. Okay, she didn't even see him. Okay, this is very significant. You know, the Bible says, whom having not seen, we love. How could Rebecca love somebody she never even seen before? We would say humanly, that's impossible. Okay, but she did. She's a type of the church. Some people ask us, how can you say you love somebody you never even seen him? Have you ever seen Christ? I've never seen him, but we love. Can you deny you love him? We love him. We've never seen him. We love him. Okay. And what did she do? She responded in absoluteness. After Rebecca received and enjoyed the riches, Eliezer was a good servant. Eliezer is like, okay, Rebecca, let's go. You know, he wanted to immediately go back to his master. He was a good servant. Okay, let's go back to the master. He was clear who he was serving. Okay. Now, it gets a little complicated, which is not unusual. Things get a little complicated. Rebecca's brother and mother, they got involved. Okay. That always complicates things. Okay. When your relatives start getting involved. Okay. So what happened? They wanted her to stay. Oh, let her stay. Maybe how about at least 10 more days? And I got a feeling if Eliezer would have complied after those 10 days were up, they might say, oh, about 10 more days. You know? So this is really something. Rebecca's brother and mother wanted her to stay longer, but Rebecca was willing to immediately leave her father's house and her country and go to the land of God's promise to be Isaac's wife. So this is true. And this corresponds with our experience. Okay, let's take this a little higher, a little broader than just getting married. This is a picture of us in the church responding to the Lord's calling that we would be for his purpose. This happened to me when I was first being called. This was going on. The Spirit was brooding. I came to a first conference, and then I started coming to some church meetings. I was being called. Okay. There was something I could not deny was drawing me, attracting me. And I was seeing something on God's heart, God's purpose. The light was shining. But at the same time, at home, my parents were like pulling the other way. You know, I'll never forget the night I decided to come this way, I get a phone call. Okay. And I was sitting out on the porch with my father. And I knew my father was working behind the scenes to get me a job to stay in the city where I was and not to be called out. Okay. But I was being called out from my relatives, out from my father's house, out from my country. Okay. I did not hate my father or hate my country or hate my family or something. No, but I was being called out. Okay. And the phone rang. I don't know how. The Spirit must have been working. As soon as that phone rang, I knew this is it. This is it. Okay. I went and took the phone call. It was one of my dad's friends offering me a job. Okay. And a good job. Stay right there where I was. By the Lord's grace and supply, I said, I'm sorry, I cannot. I appreciate your offer and you're doing this, but I'm sorry. I cannot take this job. I'm moving. And I went out on my back porch where my dad was. He knew exactly what was going on. You know. And he said, Marty, what's the call? And I told him that I turned it down. and that I'm moving. I told him, Dad, I'm moving. I'm going. And, you know, that was like the real break in my being called out. And that was not easy, but it was by the Lord's grace and by the Lord's supply to be called out, saints, to be called out. We always enjoy the verse about God has called us into the fellowship. That's true. We are called into, right? Rebecca was being called into the good land, right? And into God's chosen people. It was wonderful. But she was also being called out of her past, out of her background, out of her culture, out of her family, right? So, saints, sometimes we have to leave old things, leave it behind. So Rebecca's willingness to leave her kinsmen and everything to follow Isaac typifies the church's willingness to leave all the earthly things and entanglements to follow Christ. So the Lord was very strong in his calling once, right? He said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. And said, if you love your father or mother or sister or brother or all these ones more than him, you're not worthy. So saints, we should respond. This is a great, great characteristic of Rebecca as the bride. What does she need to do? Leave all, just follow, okay? Then it's not a one-time following. She was being led by Eliezer, okay? She left right then, she left, okay? That song we sang, I like that song, right? When they asked her, Rebecca, will you go? Will you go with this man? Who's the man? The man is not Isaac. The man is Eliezer, right? Ask Rebecca. Rebecca, it's up to you, right? Sometimes, okay, saints might ask me, Marty, what do you think about this brother? You think I should marry him? I tell him, oh, don't ask me that. It's not up to me. You're the one getting married. You're the one that has to wear the ring. You're the one that has to live the married life. It's up to you. So fortunately, Rebecca's mother and brother left it up to her. Rebecca, what are you going to do? She said, will you go with this man? Will you go with Eliezer? She said, I will go. She decided, I will go. She left all. Then she was led by the old servant and passed through a long journey in order to be brought to Isaac. I don't know how far that was, but you get the impression it was not real close. Okay. So it was a journey. What are we doing? We've been called out. We've been called into, but saints, what are we doing here in the meantime? We are following the Spirit and we are on a journey. And do you know what happened? They went on that journey all the way until they arrived in the good land and they came unto Isaac, where Isaac was. And it says it was the evening. Okay, what is the evening? It means it's at the end of the church age. We know this is the time of the wedding feast, the wedding of Christ, right? The Lord has called us and we have responded, but it's not a matter, you know, when I had that experience of being called out, that was over 50 years ago. Okay. But what are we doing? What have I been doing the last 50 years? Basically, I'm following Eliezer. Right? What are we all doing? We're following the Spirit, right? We have the Spirit within. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Okay, so saints, it's a journey and it's a long journey. right? Our whole Christian life. And what are we doing on this journey? We're being prepared. I'm sure Rebecca, I don't know how she did it, sitting on a camel, but somehow she was being led by the servant and being prepared. This typifies the church following the leading of the Spirit and passing through the world in order to meet Christ. Okay, that is our case. What are we doing here? That's why it's not easy. It's very easy for us all to get really caught up with the world. Okay, even the last few days with all the news going on and things happening in the world. Oh man, it's just so easy to get into it. And all the politics and everything going on and, you know. But basically, what does that do? It just kind of ties you down more and more into the earth, all the earthly things. Doesn't mean we don't care about what's happening around us or our environment or what's going on in our culture or our world. We do. Okay. But we are the called out ones. We have to remember we can't get overly taken up with all the things. Even in Matthew, we're told, one thing that hinders the growth of the seed is all the anxieties of life. It's all your daily stuff, right? Material possessions, jobs, things happening, schools, kids, you know, everything. And we all got to take care of all these things. It's all part of our human living. But we got to remember, we're sojourners. We're just passing through. Don't get too caught up with everything. We're just sojourners passing through the world. We're on our way to meet Christ, our bridegroom. Okay, and then eventually becoming one with her husband, Rebecca met Isaac in the evening and the two were married. That's probably one of the most simple weddings I ever heard of. She got off her camel, she went to meet him. Actually, I don't know what the significance was. Maybe it's a matter of headship. She put the veil on, right? And still wouldn't let Isaac see her. She was maybe still giving Isaac a little hard time. Like, you want to see me? Anyway, eventually, you know, it's like, whoa. She became one with her husband. They were married. The time of their meeting and marriage typify the marriage of the church to Christ at the end of the age. Revelation there says, marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Rebecca was given to Isaac and became one flesh with him. Isaac loved Rebecca and was comforted after the death of his mother. Okay, this signifies that the church is given to Christ, becomes one with Christ to be his counterpart, satisfies Christ, and enjoys all the riches Christ has inherited from God the Father. Okay, this is a really lovely story, and I hope you enjoy it and maybe read more again and again. Genesis chapter 24, there's so many riches in that chapter and so many things to learn. Okay, at the end here, Roman numeral 5, I don't have a lot of burden here, but I just want to mention there's a couple of learnings we can also have from Rebecca. And it's significant. And Brother Lee has written about this marriage versus a marriage system. I thought, wow, what is that? Okay. Says the marriage of Isaac and Rebecca was simple and not under the influence of the world as a satanic system. Marriage being ordained by God is not wrong, but has been utilized by the enemy in a systematized way. Although we need to get married, we should not be systematized. Isaac married Rebecca. That was all. It was so simple. Okay? So today we know marriage has become such a huge production and people spend so much time. There's magazines and everything written about marriage. If you go to Google marriage, man, you could probably spend your whole life reading about weddings, okay? And how to have the perfect wedding and all that. And people get caught up, you could say, in the system of marriage rather than just getting married, okay? What is that? And I'm not telling you how you should have your wedding, okay? But you have to consider, don't get so caught up, okay? Debbie told me once, she worked with this lady. First of all, they had been living together for years before they got married. Then they had a wedding, and they spent so much money on this wedding and incurred thousands and thousands in debt. Before you knew it, they got divorced before they even paid for their wedding. Okay? That's what I would call the system of marriage, right? One of the sweetest weddings I ever attended was in my living room, right? There was a graduate student couple from Northwestern. They decided to get married. The sister went and got a dress the night before. I think Taiwan got her a cake or something, snacks. It was like, I don't know, the brother borrowed a suit coat or something. It was the simplest wedding I ever saw. But I'm telling you, it was the sweetest wedding. The tears were flowing, and it was so sweet. So I'm not saying you have to get married like that, but we should pray, Lord, save me from the system. We know that everything can become a system. You need an education? Yes, you need an education. Do you need to go get full of anxiety? Oh man, what college am I going to go to? You know, and how much is it? And I got to get all these loans, and you know, on and on and on and on. And the careers, and where you're going to live, and all this. Satan has a system to fill us with anxiety every step of our life. Okay, we need, these things are ordained by God. Yes, we need to get married. Yes, we need to live in a house. Yes, we need to have children. We need to take care of our children, all those kind of things. But we don't need to be in the system. Okay. All right. Second thing is God's selection. After Isaac's entreating Jehovah for his wife to have children because she was barren, Rebekah conceived twins in her room. Jehovah told Rebekah that the older would serve the younger. Jacob was chosen before his birth, even before the foundation of the world, according to God's foreknowledge. Romans 9:11 says, the children not yet being born, nor having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to selection might remain not of works, but of him who calls. So this is a nugget in the life of Rebekah, right? That this is, God chose Jacob, and he chose the younger. Chose that the older would serve the younger. Anyway, on the negative side, you could say this is already determined by God. This was already God's choice, and God made this known, even told Rebecca. But she had to get her hands into it. Okay, and that's where we have to be careful. Rebecca gave birth to twins. Esau the older was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. Jacob the younger one was a quiet man who dwelt in tents. Rebecca was partial towards Jacob. This sowed the seed of hatred between Esau and Jacob. Eventually, Rebecca had to send Jacob away so that he might flee to her brother's place. She probably never saw her beloved son again. This shows that mothers should not show partiality in their love toward their children. Okay, so that's true. Okay, we should leave the Lord's divine arranging, his choosing, his sovereignty. We should just pray and cooperate. We shouldn't say, oh, this son of mine was chosen, this one was not, it's over. No, don't say that, right? We should pray and see what the Lord will do. Okay, I'd like to very quickly mention to you seven quick things about how we can enjoy being prepared as the bride. Number one, be attracted. We should pray, Lord, draw me, shine. If our heart is cool or cold, we should pray, Lord, appear to me. Okay, number two, we should pray, Lord, give me a pure heart. What is a pure heart? Is a single heart. Okay? And don't think, oh, I'm beyond that. My heart, I know my heart's not that pure. We should pray, Lord, purify my heart. Give me a single heart for you. Be my first love. Right? Make me pure and chaste, single in heart. Like Paul said, I espoused you to one husband. Okay, number three. What should we do? We should enjoy the riches. That's the way to be prepared, to be drawn more and more. Enjoy the riches. Enjoy the riches. Okay? Next one. Should pray, Lord, give me a responsive, willing heart. Not wavering, not, oh, think about it, you know, maybe. Yeah, Lord, give me a heart. Says, yes, amen. I will follow. I will go. Give me a heart like this. Okay, number six. Very simple. Love him. To pray, Lord, I don't see you. I haven't seen you, but I love you. I give my heart to you. I love you. We love him whom we have not seen. And we should pray, Lord, cultivate my love. Cultivate. Okay? How do we keep our love fresh or love first for the Lord? Speak it out. Speak it out. Lord, I don't see you today. I don't see you again, Lord, but I love you. My heart is for you. I love you with all my heart, Lord. Okay. Next, last one is we should pray. Sanctify me through your word. And this is according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 7. This came out in a recent conference. I thought this is really, really key. You want to become a beautiful bride? There's only one way. You have to be cleansed, washed daily. You have to be in the word. We should be a people of the word. So I like to challenge you all to, you know, do you read the Bible? Do you read the Bible every day? Do you pray, read the word? That's the way to be washed. We've got to be washed, not just in the blood for our sins, but we ought to be washed from our oldness, our naturalness, our wounds, and all the oldness. Washed in the water, in the word. It's only in the word we can be beautified. If you read the verses here, sanctifying through the word is a way to be cleansed and be produced as a glorious bride for Christ. Okay, so I'll stop here, and I know that y'all are going to break up into groups and fellowship, but I hope also that it's not bad. Learn to speak out a little something of your enjoyment to each other corporately when you come back. Right? Learn how to speak something. Okay, you say, well, I only got just a little bit. That's okay. Why don't you just share your little bit, right? To encourage each other, right? We should learn to speak for Christ, speak out our enjoyment of Christ to one another. Okay, we'll stop here, and Gina will tell us, you sisters, how to break up in groups. Oh, one more thing before we do that is, if any of you sisters weren't here, here's some of the ones on Eve we had, some of the ones from Sarah we had, and of course you got the one today for Rebecca, or if you want to take some to some other sisters, we got extras here also on Rebecca. So feel free to take those, and those who are online can get them in the Google file that they have online. Is that right? If not, just email us and we'll send them to you. Ask a leading brother in your locality. He will have the files for you. We'll put them in that Google file. Okay. Sorry, Jenny.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this word. We just want to thank all the localities who are joining us remotely. For those who are online individuals, we're going to break you up into breakout rooms. So if you can stay on, and the localities who are joining us remotely, you're welcome to sign off and do your own time, or you're welcome to sign back on in 15 minutes where we'll gather together for just a little bit of overflow. And for those who are here, we're going to break up into small groups for just a very short time. So if we can all share a little something amongst one another for 15 minutes, and then we'll come back here for some announcements and a little bit of overflow. So if some sisters want to prepare something to share per Brother Marty's word, that would be very good as well. Okay, so we can all break up into groups now. Amen.